Well, we're going to jump into reading the Word. We don't have a ton of time this morning. And so for those who are able and willing, would you please stand with me as we read this passage? We're going to read from Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 21. It says this, "So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and take a seat. Well, this week, just shared, Guy McCaslin and I had the privilege of teaching Bible adventures every day, and we were able to talk through the Gospel of Matthew, and we handed out little booklets of just the Gospel of Matthew to each of the kids, and had some great conversations, good questions, a lot of personal responses. It really was a beautiful time. And I had never been able to teach in a VBS like that before, and it just really was a huge privilege. And on the last day, we landed on Matthew chapter 28. And if you're familiar, there's a very famous passage in there where Jesus gives the great commandment to go, therefore, and disciple all nations. And we asked the crew, how difficult would that task be? And the kids all kind of agreed that it would be really hard to disciple all nations, particularly in that time and place when there was no airplanes and you had to learn languages. And yeah, it was like a big task. And the curriculum led us into Acts chapter 2, and I thought this was just a really lovely way to explain to the kids the gift the Holy Spirit was to the early church, that when the Holy Spirit came on them, they shared the good news, and 3,000 people gave their life to the Lord that day. But in that, they were speaking other languages, and we gave the kids a chance at the end of that time to ask God to help them through the Holy Spirit for ways that they can share the love of Jesus to others. Maybe there's something going on in their own life. Maybe they want to share the good news with a friend, whatever it might be. And they all wrote that down, and we got a chance to pray with each of the kids. Just a really, really beautiful, beautiful moment to invite the kids into knowing that the Holy Spirit is present and doing miracles in their lives to share the good news of Jesus. Isn't that cool? So, one of the questions that I've been working through this week with this passage is this idea of God's blessing that Jacob is wrestling for. God, throughout the book of Genesis, we can see there's these different times where God blesses groups, individuals, peoples, and this concept of flourishing is embedded in the idea of blessing, that the people who God blesses will be bountiful, they will flourish, they'll grow. The people who are against them will be cursed, which is like the opposite of flourishing, which I don't know the word for that. Unflourished? Diminish, yeah, that's a good word. Hannah, I need you to sit in the front row. She's my, she grabs the words for me, it's good. Can God's blessing be grasped? I think is the question that I've been working through. Can we take the blessing from the Lord, as it seems, as it appears Jacob does here in this story? It's essential, in my opinion, to how we appreciate Jacob's story, that we first understand his name. The story of his birth, and I shared this last week, was he's the second born of twins, and the story goes that he was holding Esau's heel as he came out of the womb. And that concept in the ancient world, to be at someone's heel, means to be undermining them. So his name properly would translate as a supplanter or a schemer. You see, at this point in the story, Jacob had been with his father-in-law's family, Laban, for 20 years after fleeing from his own family when he betrayed and lied. And he's about to meet his brother Esau again, the one he deceived, the one he undermined, the one he had stolen from on two separate occasions. And in an effort to secure his safety, Jacob is trying to manipulate the situation again by sending waves of gifts to his brother ahead of him, hoping to alleviate some of the anger that his brother might have against him. Clearly, Jacob is concerned about the possibility of revenge, potentially the loss of everything he's worked toward. Jacob's afraid at this moment. And of course, to protect himself and his family, he sends his family and all of his possessions away. And here he is alone, again, in solitude. And here, again, he has this profound moment with the Lord. In this fervent prayer, he just asks, Lord, please preserve my life. You remember your promise. Please, not now. Don't give up on me. Remember that word, hesed, we talked a couple weeks ago, the hesed of God, the steadfast love, that unending desire and willingness. He will go to the depths to fulfill his promise, the hesed of God, this unending ability and desire. Jacob claims the hesed of God at this moment. There's a couple things I want us to think about when we're working through this passage, because it's a difficult one. I think there's two warnings of what we can do with God's hesed, his blessing. The first one here, I think we can see in Jacob's story, is we make this attempt to grab a hold of God's blessing. Jacob grabs a hold of God's blessing. In verse 26, he says this, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Asher, go on to the next slide. A lot of the translations, including the NIV, say that the man touched Jacob's hip. And that's not an incorrect translation. That Hebrew word does convey like physical touch. But within the context of the passage, it can be, and in some translations does say that the man struck Jacob's hip. That word is not simply just touch, but it can be used as like a blow. And when we see what happened, it says the man struck the hollow of Jacob's hip. Where's the hollow of your hip? It's the most personal, private part of one's hip. To be as polite as I can, it sounds like the Lord punched Jacob in the crotch. By all accounts, this was a low blow to finally get rid of Jacob, to get him off of him. He punched him in the groin. And he punched him so hard that he dislocated his hip. That's pretty interesting, you guys. When you look at it that way, it says a lot more about the kind of wrestling interaction these two men were having with one another. This was not just a high school wrestling match. There was probably some violence and grunts and strikes. But finally, the last blow, the Lord took out Jacob's hip, injuring him for the rest of his life. To the point that this story carried so much meaning throughout the history of Israel, they won't eat that tendon on any animal to remember that the Lord dislocated Jacob's hip. Again, remember Jacob's name. It means underminer. It means someone who's kind of a trickster. He's always found ways to trick people. He's a very cunning man. Manipulates to get his way. He even schemed against Laban and got a little taste of his own medicine from Laban, who tricked him twice. When he wants to marry, I've got it written, Rachel. He agrees to a 7-year service, and then Laban gives him Leah. He's like, well, hang on. And Laban says, no, you got to do 7 more to get her. So he ends up serving 14 years and now has 2 wives, which sounds like a massive challenge. And then we see again in this passage, there's this, I don't have it written here, I should. It's, let me see if I can find it. It says, the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. It's like the Lord is finally turning Jacob's constant undermining, his constant need to strive and grasp And he flips that and says, you have constantly been striving against man and God and have, and the NIV translates prevailed. But that, again, we're going to get into this language here, that word, that watukal, prevail, it's mentioned twice elsewhere in the Old Testament, and it's in Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah uses that word, he uses it in a way that God had his way. Not prevailed, but God had a plan and he had his way with Israel. So here we see that word again, that watukal. Jacob prevailed, but more so, Jacob had his way with man and with God. And when God wounded Jacob, it's not a punishment, but he's adding this level of grace and mercy to Jacob. Now stop striving. Stop trying to grab the blessings from people. I'm going to make this so clear to you that you're going to have an injury the rest of your life, because too long have you had your way with other people. Take this injury, and I'm going to rename you as one who has faced God, one who wrestles with God. There's a sense of honor in Jacob's willingness, but mercy that no longer does he have to strive to gain God's approval. Too often for me, and I'm certain many of you have heard commentary on this passage, that Jacob is commended for wrestling with God. I've heard a lot of interpretations that this is an act of spiritual strength, great faith on Jacob's part, as though his persistence and struggle is what earned him the blessing. But I think rather than seeing this as an act of virtue on Jacob's part, I think we can see that this really provides Jacob a breaking point from his own desire to grasp and to get his way. He's had this constant lifelong pattern to strive for his position, his security, his blessing, even the prayer before this moment, God, please don't let me die. For sure, it's a commendable effort, but it's not surrender. The blow to his hip, not a punishment, but a mercy in the face of his unwillingness to surrender. God made him surrender. I don't see this as a story of a victorious faith, bringing your struggles to the Lord. I see this as a story of a man who's exhausted from his constant resistance, collapsing into an utter dependence on the Lord. Friends, I see this blessing doesn't come because Jacob was good at wrestling. The blessing comes because he couldn't wrestle anymore. This limp, a lasting evidence that the Lord's grace begins when our striving ends. Don't you want to commend Jacob because God blessed him? Don't you see this and think, clearly, if you wrestle, you get blessed. But that limp, friends, is not a trophy. The limp reminded Jacob and Israel, you were never going to earn this. It was always me the Lord said. A second thing I'd like us to consider, there's another character in the Old Testament who reminds me of this, one who struggles and battles with the Lord, insisting on doing things his own way. And we can see from the story of Jonah that God had given him a clear call, a direction, a plan. But Jonah resisted God's will. The challenge with Jonah is God was sending him to the great state of Nineveh, which was a warrior nation, violent, horrible people. And God wanted to send Jonah in to share the good news of God's mercy and justice. And Jonah said, they don't deserve that. He attempted to guard God's blessing from those who didn't earn it. So we see Jonah flee to Tarsus, get thrown over the side of the boat, get swallowed by a fish, constantly avoiding it. Finally, God gets into Nineveh. And this is pretty funny. He goes in and shares the briefest of gospel message. Basically, repent or else. And then turns around and leaves. And goes, this is great. It's a bit of a comedy. He goes outside the gates of Nineveh, sets up what says a booth, and he just sits there and waits and watches as the entire nation repents. And in his fury, he gets angry at God. Who do you think you are, giving these undeserving people your mercy? You see, I think when we look at Jonah, he didn't want free grace. He wanted grace to be something that had to be wrestled through, something to grasp. So Jacob, we see, wrestled to receive the blessing. Jonah guarded the blessing from those who didn't earn it. But of course, we've got the great story of our Savior Jesus, who does something radically different. Jesus gives God's blessing. He refers to Jonah's 3 days in the belly of the fish as a sign. But where Jonah was, of course, reluctant, Jesus was willing to give it. Asher, go to the next slide. We can see Jesus went into the depths like Jonah went into the whale, willingly into his own death, into a grave so that the blessing of God would no longer be seized, no longer be hoarded, that his blessing can be given. I think when I look at the cross, I see not a striving, but a surrender. Jesus allowed himself to be broken. He allowed his flesh to be torn, his body to be beaten, his heart to be broken. But not to receive the blessing himself, but so that the blessing can be given to all who would surrender with him. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2. Pull that up, Ash. Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works, not by wrestling, not by grabbing it. Why? So no one can boast. The blessing of the Lord can only be given away. That's the great mercy of God's blessing, is that it's a gift and a gift alone. Even to Jacob, it was a gift that had to be given. He couldn't take it. As much as he wanted to, year over year, decade over decade, broken relationships, loss, and pain and loneliness. When did he receive the blessing? When the Lord forced him to surrender. He punched him in the crotch, for goodness sake. Literally, for goodness sake, right? What is it going to take for you to surrender? Do you need to be broken like Jacob was broken? Are you still wrestling with the Lord, thinking you can earn something? Some kind of favor, some kind of blessing? Day after day, fighting. God, when will you finally bless me? And he says, I already did. I already did. But you keep fighting me. Friends, a blessing comes with a limp. There's a sense of brokenness. There's a posture of complete surrender that is required to receive the blessing of God. We see in verse 28, Jacob receives a new name, Israel, not because he won, but because he hung on, even when he couldn't fight. Jacob's limp isn't a symbol of his failure, but it's the mark of the beginning of his transformation. A limp is grace. A limp reminds us we can't rely on our own strength. This reminds me, I read an academic paper on this passage on disability and the perceived weakness of disability in our culture. But we can see here, God disables Jacob. And it's not a means of rejection, but there's a deliberate act to mark Jacob for grace, for a deeper relationship. Friends, I don't know about you, but I see a society that perceives disability as a limitation, as an exclusion, a perception of our weakness. However, and I've heard this from individuals, and it's pretty well known, those who experience disability often describe it as a gift, a unique way that God has fostered intimate connection with him. God has provided a way for them to rely on him, to be humble. They're constantly, unwaveringly in need of his presence in their life. I can't think of a greater blessing. Friends, the limp that Jacob bears is a powerful testimony. Not a symbol of defeat, not a matter of inadequacy, but a sign of God's divine closeness to Jacob. His vulnerability serves to deepen his faith. And for those who battle with their disability, may you see it as a way of God pursuing you, a call to deeper faith, Him pushing you to rely on His grace in your moments of greatest trial. Through the lens of a disability, we can discover profound insight about love, strength, and community. Things that challenge our conventional bootstrap yourself view. And be invited into a richer experience of community in life. We'll invite our worship team up here as we get ready to close our service. Friends, God uses what the world sees as weakness to demonstrate His strength. I'll say that again. God uses what the world sees as a weakness to show His strength. Why? So no one else gets credit. It's only His mercy that we see Jacob gets that blessing. It's only by God's mercy, when we feel broken and lost and wounded. Friends, that's where He finds you. That's where He wants you to be. It's the most painful part. But friends, the blessing comes with a limp. Friends, if we're going to be the church of Christ, we better be broken, wounded people walking with limps everywhere we go. Because I don't want credit for my salvation. I don't want to be someone who is constantly striving, trying to gain merit to earn God's favor. I want to know that all of my brokenness was taken there and buried with Him. I want my blessing to be a gift, freely given. Would you guys stand as we get ready for this song? So Jacob, we see, tries to earn God's blessing through his own effort. Jonah is trying to restrict God's blessing only to those who seem worthy. But friends, we know that Jesus offers this blessing as a free gift. So as we go into this song, I'm going to ask you, are you wrestling with God? Are you wrestling with God for something that He is ready to give you?